Chapter 22. Hello, Kylar said to Capricia when he returned to the ringery. Hello, she said, surprised. She was alone, closing up the shop.
The ass is back, he grimaced.
Sorry about before. What? She said. No, you were fine. I understand that it all seems strange if you're not from here. Men never like it, though the women have to pierce their ears, too, and they never complain. She shrugged.
Right.
Well, Kylar said. Then he realized he had nothing to say. What was it about jewelry that made him feel inadequate?
Right.
He finished, lamely. Honestly, she said. Most men barely notice the pain. I mean, their brides make sure they're distracted. Technically, you consummate the marriage only after the nailing, but most cases, it's pretty much only technically. Kylar coughed. He'd been thinking about that. Do you remember which ones she was pointing to? Kylar asked. Of course, Capricia said. She laughed. I'm afraid they're the ones that really hold the spells. Her eyes twinkled, and he blushed. I have the misfortune of having a wife with excellent taste. It reflects well on her other choices, Capricia said, smiling her big smile at him. Whatever the fallout from the Shinga was going to be, Kylar was glad he'd saved her. She pulled out the drawer and set it in front of him. As she set it down, she scowled and grabbed a pair of rings out of the drawer. Just a second, she said, and knelt behind the counter, tucking them away. Then she stood back up. I think it was one of these, she said, pointing to several along the top row of woven gold and mistaril entwined. How much are these? He asked. 2,400, 2,800, and 3,200. He whistled in spite of himself. We do have similar styles in white and yellow gold that are more affordable, Capricia said. The mistaril makes them pretty ridiculous. Jorsen Alkesti's sword had been mistaril with a core of hardened gold, Durzo said. It took a special forge to melt mistaril because it wouldn't melt until it was 3 times hotter than steel. Once it attained its working heat, it retained it for hours, unlike other metals that had to be reheated over and over. Smiths found it a pure joy and a pure terror to work with, because after that first heating and the first hours they had to work with, it wouldn't melt again. They only got one chance to get it right. Only a smith with substantial talent could attempt any large-scale work with mistaril. Does anyone wear pure mistaril rings? He asked, as he scanned the rings. He could have sworn Aline's eyes had lit up when she saw one of these sets. Which one was it? She shook her head. Even if you could afford it, you wouldn't want it, Master Burari says. He says that some of the simpler spells actually hold better in gold. Even the oldest rings combine the two metals. He has a pair that his great-great-great-something grandfather made that look like pure mistaril, but they contain a core of yellow gold and diamond. It's pretty amazing. He lined the mistaril with tiny holes so you can see the gold and diamond sparkling through it if the light is right. Kylar was almost starting to believe the talk about spells. Either Master Burari was the real thing, or he'd been very careful to learn how to speak about magic from people who were. It still felt like madness. To be looking at rings that cost 2,000 or 3,000 gold. He should have asked Grandmaster Halen about the rings this afternoon. The Grandmaster would have known if they were legitimate. But Kylar's heart was light. He'd already sold his birthright. He was committed. Now it was just a matter of finding the perfect ring to please the woman he loved, the woman who was saving him from becoming the bitter wreck Durzo Blint had become. Really, the magic in the rings didn't matter. What mattered was letting Eline know what she was worth to him. There was one set. I swear it was in this box, Kylar told Capricia. What were those ones you put away? Those were just a display set. Well, not actually a display set. The queen got furious with a gem merchant who wouldn't sell her some jewels a decade ago, and she outlawed display sets, so it's not technically a display set, but it's not really for sale. We have other drawers. It might have been in one of those. Just show me the ones I asked about, Kylar said. He was suddenly skeptical. Was this a sales ploy? He'd seen it before. A pretty girl tells a guy, here, this is very nice, as she sets aside something ridiculously expensive and pulls out something cheap, and the man instantly says, what about those? To prove his manhood. But Capricia didn't come across like that. She seemed genuine. She pulled out the rings and set them in front of him. Just looking at them, Kylar could see the size of his shop's inventory shrinking. These are the ones, he said. The design was seductively simple and elegant. A bare half-twist of silvery metal that somehow sparkled gold in the light when he picked up the larger one. Capricia gasped and raised a hand as if he were going to break it. He gazed into one of the shop's mirrors and held up the ring by his left earlobe. It looked kind of effete, but then, apparently none of the thousands of men he'd seen around the city worried about looking effete. Hmm, he said. He moved the earring up higher on his ear. That looked a little more masculine. What's the most painful place a woman can nail a guy? Right about... She leaned forward and pointed, but he couldn't see it in the mirror. He moved, and her finger touched his ear. Oh, she said, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to touch... What? He said. Then he remembered. Oh, no, it's my fault. Seriously, where I come from, ears are no big deal. Did you say right here? So it goes over the top? He checked the mirror. Yes, definitely more masculine. And it would have hurt like hell. For some reason, that made him feel better. He picked up the smaller earring and, being careful not to touch her, held it up to Capricia's ear. It was beautiful. I'll take them, he said. I'm really sorry, she said. We don't have anything exactly like that for sale, but Master Burari could make something that looks almost identical. You said there were no display items, Kylar said. Not technically. After the Queen proclaimed the law, well, everything's for sale. They just put ridiculous prices on what they don't want to sell. And these are one of those? Kylar asked. Now the house was getting smaller. These are actually the rings I was telling you about earlier, the ones Master Burari's great-great-great-grandfather made. Mistaril over gold with diamonds? She smiled weakly. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to embarrass you. They weren't even supposed to be in this case.
How ridiculous a price are we talking? Kylar asked.
Ridiculous, she said.
How ridiculous?
Totally ridiculous, she winced.
Kylar sighed. Just tell me.
31,400 queens. Sorry.
It hit Kylar in the stomach. It was a coincidence, of course, but Eline would call it the divine economy. He'd sold retribution for exactly what it would cost to marry her. With nothing left over? Eline, if this is your god's economy, you serve a niggardly god. I don't even have enough left to buy a wedding knife.
On the bright side, Capricia said, forcing a chuckle, we'd throw in a wedding knife free.
A block of ice dropped into Kylar's stomach.
I'm sorry, she said, mistaking the stricken expression on his face. We do have some lovely...
You get paid a commission on your sales? He asked.
1/10 of anything over 1,000 in sales a day, she said.
So, if you sold these, what would you do with, what, more than 3,000 queens?
I don't know. Why are you...
What would you do? She shrugged and started to answer, stopped, and finally said,
I'd move my family. We live in a pretty rough neighborhood, and we keep having trouble with... Oh, what does it matter? Believe me, I've dreamed about it ever since I started working here. I thought about selling those rings and how it would change everything for us. I used to pray about it every day, but my mother says we're safe enough. Anyway, the God doesn't answer greedy prayers like that.
Kylar's heart went cold. They'd move away from that vengeful, arrogant little Shinga. Kylar wouldn't have to commit murder to keep them safe. No, Kylar said, pocketing the Mystareel earrings and grabbing a wedding knife. He answers them like this. He heaved the chest onto the counter and opened it. Capricia gasped. Her hands shook as she unfolded note after note. She looked up at Kylar, tears filling her eyes. Tell your parents your guardian angel said to move. Not next week. Not tomorrow. Tonight. When I saved you, I embarrassed the Shinga. He's sworn revenge.
Her eyes stayed huge, but she nodded imperceptibly. Her hands popped up like an automaton's. Gift box? She asked in a strangled voice. Free.
He took the jewelry box from her hand and walked out the door, locking it behind him. He tucked the earrings in the decorative box and dropped it all in a pocket, suddenly as poor as a pauper. He'd sold his birthright. He'd given away one of the last things he had to remember Durzo by. He'd traded a magical sword for 2 metal circles. And now, he didn't have a copper to his name. 31,400 queens. And he didn't even have enough left over to buy Uli a birthday present. We're finished, God. From now on, you answer your own fucking prayers.